Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's roll out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but, you know, swing on by, get caught up on what you might have missed out on. Everything's just sitting over there waiting for you. Of course, there is a link while you're at sportstimeradio.com. That'll take you to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, and, you know, you're swinging on over there. You might as well give that a like. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, you know, Dan and I were, you know, chatting a little bit before with the show officially started, and we had our fantasy drafts over the weekend. We had our auction league first on Friday night and then our snake league on Saturday. So why don't you tell everybody what you thought and how you like your chances rolling in?
Well, first of all, Big Jack, I just got to let you know stage two just got started, and it looks like some of my guys are still in, but I don't see Bush. Oh, there he is. He's way far back. But I'll be honest, Big Jack, this is awesome. A mud race? I've never seen this before. So, I mean, this is, I think, another way for NASCAR to, I don't know, I just think it's pretty damn cool. That they, I didn't realize that they have this stuff. It's not just, you know, 20 tracks and they're all just a big oval or whatever. So, yeah, I just want to throw that out there. I'll have to go back and look. I don't really like looking at those fantasy, the daily ones or the FanDuel ones until the race is over, because then I get too excited or pissed off when I lose. But,
You know, and while Dan brought this up, I was just telling him before we got started that, you know, I put a FanDuel lineup in as well for the race today, and three of my drivers crashed into each other, and the fourth one had a mechanical fail. So I am basically completely out of the race because you only enter five guys. So four of my five guys wrecked.
Sorry, it's not funny, but it's pretty damn funny.
Yeah. That's where I am while we were on that. So.
Yeah, I guess we could start with Friday night with our regular draft, 20-team league. Just trying to do a double check, and it looks like we did hit our max again. So we, you know, every year we have people who leave or get dropped or however that works out. We always, I don't know, do you feel like it's always scrambling at the last day and then all of a sudden those two positions fill up?
Well, you know, that league surprisingly actually filled up rather quickly. I was really surprised with the speed that one filled up with. You know, it was the auction league where we were waiting to get guys on the, you know, the last minute. So, was a bit... you know, a big plus.
Yeah, the one thing I just kind of was thinking about, Big Jack, and I don't know how much you would think about this either. You know, do you think guys get picked up not just because they're in, you know, the next up in line to be picked or however that, they're next on the board, but it kind of does with quote-unquote media manipulation? I mean, you know, one of the players from Friday night, which is their standard Snake League draft, 1 through 20. I was able to land Jake Odorizzi. And while he's probably not going to win 20 games, he's still a very solid pitcher. And coming back with – or he's not with Minnesota. Going down to Houston, I just thought that environment's going to work out just tremendously for him. They're pretty much built to win. They've won, so these guys want to do it. I think it's the situation's a little bit different in Minnesota. But do you think the fact that he fell so far down, I think you even said it, oh, wow, I didn't know he was still there. You think about the media, how his hunt for a team was tracked or not tracked at all. Do you think that kind of plays into it, too, where because his name wasn't pushed so much in the media, that guys lost sight of him, and I was able to grab him real late?
Yeah, well, you know what happened is he was hurt last year, so he only made a minimal number of starts. So, you know, it when they rank them, obviously it's going to be low because you look at his numbers compared to the other guys, and you know it's like, oh well, you know, he, because yeah, you look at it, he only made 4 starts for the Twins last year, and you know he had difficulty there. You know, he was 0-1 with a 6.59 ERA, so even in those 4 starts, he wasn't very good. So that of course is going to drop him way down. And you know, that's a lot of my thing where I keep telling everybody you can't hold 2020 against a guy. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think Jake Odorizzi is going to have a 6.59 ERA this year. I just don't see it happening. So you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those things. And again, I went through it over the weekend again with Schomburg Stu, who just can't let the Kyle Schwarber numbers go from last year for whatever reason. I don't know if it's just because he's a former Cub or what it was, but I can't remember how Schwarber's name came up, but immediately, you know, Stu brought up that he didn't even hit 200 last year. So, you know, it's like, okay, but, you know, he did still show power, and he's going to get a chance to play in Washington, so he's probably going to hit 30 to 40 bombs, you know, and if he'll hit 250 or 260, that's fine. Yeah, it's just, it's odd that you don't want to let that go, you know, and it's just kind of the same situation where it's like, okay, well, you know, if you think Schwarber is now going to be just a 188 hitter because that's what he hit in 2020, does that mean you now think Christian Yelich is only going to hit 205 because that's what he hit in 2020?
Yeah.
So, you know, I need, and I'm kind of glad that this season is going to get going because it's going to help people let go of 2020, because it's just ridiculous. You know, I mean, you're looking at guys that at the most played 60 regular season games. There's been plenty of guys who have struggled through 60 games and still ended up hitting 270 or 280. You know, you can't tell me if Schwarber and Yelich would have both ended up playing 140 games last year that they wouldn't have been closer to what's on the back of their baseball card. But, you know, it's, well, you know, he did this. Well, so what? It was a abomination of a season. So I'm happy to get by that. But, yeah, that's what killed a lot of the ratings for guys, you know, was you could look and go through and find these guys like you found Odorizzi. I wish I would have found him first. You know, the only thing I don't see today that he's hurt. Have you looked at that?
No, but I mean, if he's hurt, it's a long, you know, that's the difference. I think a lot of people forget about even a guy that called himself Mr. Fantasy between baseball and football is the time, you know, unless it's the White Sox kid, you know, 5-6 months, you know, if you're drafting him, you definitely NA'ing him right away or putting him on your injured reserve. But even that, do you really want to do that? You know, it was frowned upon the year, or, you know, I got a lot of slack the year I drafted Roldis Chapman when he was suspended. And, you know, that was a good 30 days. But, you know, you've got to learn to balance. I tried to pick up as many guys as I could in between there to make up for what I was losing with him. But once it came back, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter, even in fantasy, if you're outright from the beginning, you know, the best team, you've got to go the entire season. So I think when you get a guy who's injured, if it's 30 days, I think that's where my cutoff has been. You know, I've kind of stayed away from the 60, but it depends on how much I really want the guy. So Odorizzi's hurt pitching anyway, so it might work out for me.
So, yeah, you know, and I don't know what the injury is. I just saw it today because Mr. Fantasy and I actually ended up with him on our Money League team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was just one of those things. But, yeah, I haven't really seen what they were saying, you know, how it's gonna work or if he's gonna miss time. But you know, we'll see how it goes, and you know, hopefully it's nothing that's gonna keep him out or linger. You know, and that's the things I always worry about is, you know, you're gonna get something that they can't seem to shake.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that risk, but you just kind of sometimes have to take a risk. You know, you're getting a solid guy, and if it doesn't work out, you know, and there's always other pitchers that come up, things of that sort. You know, that's, I think, one of the reasons I like baseball a bit more than fantasy football. But, you know, it's a balanced approach. You know, fantasy football, you just check it twice. You know, that's kind of nice. But with baseball being so long and with so many players, you may not make up everything you've lost, but you could still find players to fill in the gaps so that you stay kind of afloat.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, that's the one big advantage when, you know, you run across baseball. So, you know, I mean, again, we'll see how things work out, and you know, it's just it's baseball. You know, that's the one thing with it is you just never know. There's always that guy. You know, it's like, oh, okay, you know, where did this guy come from? And you know, all of a sudden you've got to get to the waiver wire to get the claim in and hope that you can, you know, you can get the claim before somebody beats you to it.
Well, and, you know, and you're not even in the best position, to be honest with you. I felt like when I started really getting into the fantasy with you was when I was working that second shift job. And, you know, I was, I worked until 11 o'clock midnight. So, you know, if something happened on the West Coast, by the time I got home, midnight, 1 o'clock, I was able to just check my lineups right away, you know, adjust accordingly and put those claims in, you know, almost right away, where, you know, your timing, I think you're waking up at that time, so you're not spending a whole lot of time, you know, for the fantasy right when you get up. And then the other guys, you know, they're commuting to work in the morning, you know, the first shift, you know, maybe you're in the car the whole time. You might not have time. So I don't know. That was the nicest part about working those late shifts, baseball and football. I was able to, you know, get the – it was definitely a fantasy advantage when it came to waiver claims. Keep it in the phone.
So yeah, you know, and you know, I always enjoy the doing the drafts. You know, I mean – this year, you know, the Snake League was, really fast with the new time that I set up. I almost think it was too fast. I'm going to go back one clock
yeah.
setting next year. But yeah, it was just it wasn't even 2 hours, was it?
I think it was just about an hour and a half, 1 hour and 40 minutes.
You know, and then, you know, and obviously the auction league went a little longer, but that's expected with the auction league. I mean, I do think, you know, like I think I was done, you know, I got all my guys within, I think it was about 3 hours and 45 minutes, which isn't too bad. And I know you didn't go too much longer after I did. You know, obviously the ones that last longer is when the computer people, because, you know, they get outbid. So, but yeah, now were you surprised with the thing that surprised me with the auction league was there were a lot of people that went out and spent a lot of money really early. And I mean, not just a lot of money, but I mean, big money.
Oh.
So were you kind of surprised by that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, had I thought about it, I should have taken a look to see, look at the results that night and see who was there last year and if they're new to the league. But you're right. I mean, I was one of them. I didn't go too high, though. You know, I stayed 40, 50 bucks, and that was just kind of because I watched too much of Storage Wars, so, you know, listening to their bullshit philosophy. I wanted to
yeah.
establish my presence. So, but, you know, I wanted to get to certain guys, and I felt they were a good price at the time, but you're right. I mean, I did one and really early on, and then, you know, you kind of, when you do the big ones, you kind of space them out. But some of these guys were doing, like you said, going for the stars and scrubs, and, you know, does that really work with baseball, having five guys that, you know, are potentially top-tier players, but then you still have an entire roster to fill out. So I don't know if it's the best strategy. I'll have to go back in and, you know, look at the results, and then we'll have to see where everyone is at the end of the season to see if that strategy worked.
Yeah, you know, there are, you know, multiple strategies to doing an auction league. And, you know, like the one you mentioned, you know, they call Stars and Scrubs, where, you know, you go out and you spend all your money on the star players, you know, and you try to get as many star players as possible. And then, you know, when it comes down to it, you just fill in with basically whoever's left. So.
Well, I guess you can try to survive on trades as well, but just, I don't know. I feel like you just have to balance it out in here.
So, yeah, and I didn't realize this until this morning when I was kind of going through my teams. It looks like I am apparently all in on Trevor Bauer because I have him on every single team I have. You know, Mr. Fantasy and I have him in the Money League. He was my first pick in the snake draft. I ended up with him in the auction league, and then I got him again last night with my first-round pick. So, yeah, I'm all in on Trevor Bauer. So, guy, if anybody else owns Trevor Bauer, he's either going to have the worst year of his career or he's going to get hurt. That always happens to me. So I'm sorry. I want to apologize now, you know. But, yeah, those things happen.
Did you mean to go for him in every league, or? It just happened to fall.
No, it just kind of happened that way. You know, what I was doing in, you know, like the auction league, I had decided I wanted to focus on pitching early. I actually went pitching, I think, the first two or maybe even three rounds because, you know, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I was really good in those categories. And, you know, to be fair, there are a lot of hitters, you know, like if you're not picking at the top of the draft, it's difficult to get an elite hitter. and I was kind of stuck where I hated it because I was right in the middle of the draft, and I hate being in the middle. I would prefer to be like the 18th, 19th, 20th pick than, you know, 9, 10, 11. So that drives me nuts when I'm caught in the middle. But, you know, so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go with pitching. And somehow I got lucky enough for Bauer to fall to me. I didn't think he would get there, and he did. And then, oddly, I followed it up with Walker Buehler. So I have two Dodgers in my rotation. So they better have a good year.
Yeah, I mean, when you went into your draft, was there certain players, or not certain players so much, but, you know, pitching versus hitting, how did you balance that out? I mean, I went a little excessive on starting pitching. Well, it looked like more like relief pitching. But, you know, I still tried to round out my entire, you know, the 1 through 9. You know, of course, in the snake league, you know, we only did 1 through 9, added an extra outfielder and a utility. So you weren't going that too much in. But what was your kind of goal after? Because, you know, I feel like in the snake league, at least the first 3 rounds, you're not so much picking maybe so much on what you wanted to do, but like you said, where you fell in the draft. And what you have around there. I wish I had the actual lineup. I should have thought of that. But, you know, after that, do you start looking at the 3 guys you've drafted so far and then go, well, oh, it just so happens that these 3 guys are 30-plus homer guys. Maybe I'm looking for another kind of stat. Did you go that route at all?
You know, what I always do with the Snake League is for the first probably, you know, 5, 6, maybe even 7 or 8 rounds, I want the best player available to me. You know, because that's, you know, that's how you're going to win, be it pitcher, position player. No matter who it is, I want that best guy on the board. Then after that, I start kind of looking at guys who I think are going to be really good value, you know, for where I am in the draft. You know, then it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, I need to see if, you know, this guy is the right guy here, or you know, how it's going to kind of work out. And then as the draft goes farther down, I look and I go, yeah, you know, I probably need a guy who can steal me some bases or hit me some home runs or, you know, something to that effect. You know, and then pitchers are the same way. Like, you know, closers always go first. You know, there's just nothing you can do. And like, for whatever reason, I really missed out on closers in the auction league. You know, I did land 2, so I will get some saves and I'll compete a little bit. But I really, after that, I just kind of punted on pitchers. So I don't know how this is going to work, but it's going to be interesting. So we'll see. But, yeah, you know, and then after that, like, you know, as you know, we have holds as a category. There aren't a lot of leagues that do that. So it's just like, okay, well, I got to go get a guy with holds as things move on. And you mentioned when I grabbed Joey Gallo, you mentioned something about me taking him. And I was like, well, I needed some home runs. And obviously I'm going to get home runs out of Joey Gallo.
Yeah.
But what I stumbled into, and I don't know if this happened to you as well, or maybe it was just that last year was so weird, but I have 12 guys on my roster that play multiple positions, and that's really odd for even me. You know, generally I only have a couple, but I'm guessing with the way the league worked out or however it was that more guys qualified at more positions, or maybe they loosened the rules?
I don't know if they loosened the rules, but I think it's just that approach that some of the, you know, guys like Joe Madden were taking where, you know, in the past, we've always seen, like, the standard multi-position player where a guy's either going to specialize in the outfield or play all three positions. That was always there. You know, first and third was not always there, but you'd have, like, that handful, maybe not even a handful of guys that qualified. You know, the catcher first baseman was always there. But I think recently the one I'm seeing more of is this second base, second short, and then outfield. You know, I grabbed Laurie Garcia for the hell of it, and he's second base, short, left, center, right, you know. I went after Donovan Solano from San Francisco simply because he played second, third, and short. So why did I draft Starlin Castro again? I don't know. Because he plays second and third. And then I have Chris Taylor, another one, second base, short, left, center. And then, oddly, Mike Moustakas is first, second, and third. I don't know which league. He sent me a trade in, but I'll look at it later. But I think it's kind of cool for fantasy. But, you know, I think the biggest thing in the past, though, Big Jack, is the guys that you were looking for that had those multi-positions were guys you were trying to grab in the, I don't think 20th, but I don't know how many rounds we actually went, but, you know, in the last, like, three or four rounds. You know, not
we go
20.
It is. So.
You know, we're not expecting
I finally started looking at my roster after everything was all filled out, and I was like, wow, how did I end up with so many frickin' guys that can play all over? It was like, how did that work for me? You know, generally I have one or maybe two guys to fill that utility spot. But, yeah, you know, like I have one of those guys who plays second, third, short, center, and right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, okay, well, this will come in handy, obviously, on off days. So,
you know, and that's, I think the other part of it is a lot of times you just draft a team, figure it out, and once the season starts, that helps you, you know, have some value for someone else to trade with.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I figure, you know, down the road I'm going to have a pretty decent, you know, option to kind of go, well, hey, okay, if I want to go here or I want to go there with this, you know, it should work for me. But yeah, it's just kind of, you know, as of now, it's just kind of like, oh, okay, how's this going to go? So.
So I don't know. I'm excited though. And, you know, like you said, I told you last night was the first time I drafted off, you know, and kind of determined between two guys I might be looking at off of projected stats for the first time ever, because I didn't even want to bother looking at 2020 stats. That would, you know, mislead me. So I just left that out this year, which was, you know, definitely a different way to go, because, you know, it's projected. So, you know, there's that part of it. But I don't know if it made it easier or, you know, it's just definitely different. So, and, you know, kind of going back to your point, even bringing up Kyle Schwarber, I thought about it. And, you know, I nominated him for two reasons, to see if I can get him cheap, because I would definitely still play him fantasy-wise. And then, of course, to get someone to spend too much money on him.
Yeah.
So, you know, one or the other. If I get him cheap, perfect. If someone spends too much money, it's even better.
Yeah, and then I know one of the guys who got drafted in our league was Jose Leclerc. He was scheduled to be the Rangers closer. You know, he was having some arm problems in spring training, so I stayed away from him. That kind of worried me. And sure enough, today they announced that he's going to need Tommy John surgery. So,
is that how it works?
Right. You know that, and I know that Luke Voit also underwent surgery. You know, he was scheduled to be the Yankees' starting first baseman. I'm trying to remember what, see if I can find what he had here. Yeah, he has a meniscus tear in his knee. So now, you know, that you know, it'll probably take him about a month to recover, generally 4 to 6 weeks. But, you know, being that he's a power hitter, that may be one of those things that kind of linger. You know, and there were a lot of big-time predictions on him. You know, there were guys thinking that he could be a, you know, a 50-home run guy in a full season after the year he had last year. So, you know, we'll see how that affects him going forward. And then I think for a change, Dan, you finally jinxed somebody. I believe you mentioned last week that Yomer Sanchez was, you know, in the majors with the Orioles. Well, they traded for Adam Pluko from the Indians, and then they designated Yomer. So it looks like he's either going to the minors or he's going to be a free agent. So I think you finally did it to somebody.
Oh, poor guy. I mean, that kind of sucks. You know, it sucks that he didn't qualify or meet the White Sox standards. But
yeah. So, yeah, and then what I was kind of surprised by, and, you know, I don't know if maybe this is just part of their rebuild or how they're going to do it, but the Rangers, another move by the Texas Rangers, they announced today that Rougned Odor is not going to make the opening day roster, and they're actually going to designate him for assignment and then basically just let him go. Now, you know, Dan, we're talking about a second baseman who's had three career 30-plus home run seasons. You know, in a game where power is king, you know, are you a little surprised that they're going away from this guy? I mean, he's all of 27, so it's not like he's a, you know, 30 years old, but he's got 7 years in the majors now.
I mean, that is, it's kind of surprising, but I, at the same time, you know, the 30 home run number, I think might get him a job somewhere else, but it just seemed like it just really wasn't working out all that well, though, in Texas.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, he's actually really scuffled the last couple years. You know, in the full season 2019, he only hit 205. And then last year he struggled again. He only hit .167, but like I said, you can throw that out. Even hitting 205, though, he still got to that magical 30 home run number. You know, and he drove in 93. So he was still, you know, providing offensively. And he does actually, you know, he's a double-digit steal guy. You know, and I know steals don't mean much anymore, but he's a, you know, he's a pretty well-rounded, you know, player. You just got to wonder if maybe – you think somebody picks him up and tries to adjust his swing and maybe help him hit for a better average? Or do you think he's just going to be stuck as kind of the home run strikeout guy? Because he does a lot of that too, like everybody.
I think he'll be stuck as the home run strikeout guy. But, I mean, he's got to do something, you know, more than just a few home runs every year. I'm late on the punch. But, you know, you're talking about a guy with career 237 batting average. You know, you mentioned 30 home runs, but he only hit 10 last year. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. But you're right, you know, for Texas to give up on a kid that's 27 years old, you've got to wonder they're taking and if there's anything else, you know, behind the scenes that we they don't want to be associated with. But, you know, contractual-wise, how does that affect them?
Yeah, you know, I was wondering that myself. You know, obviously, you know, if a team was to call them, you know, then, you know, he, you know, they would have to pick up the contract. But you know nobody's going to do that because he has, what, I think he's got this year and next year left on his deal, right?
Yeah, and, you know, and this is, I should have been in the wrong place. I can't remember, when did they restructure that deal? But at the end of the day, he's owed 12 and a third this year, 12 and a third next year with a $3 million buyout. So that puts, you know, any team looking to, does Texas still have to take him on or take on his salary?
Yeah, you know, obviously, depending on how the contract is worded, you know, because I don't believe he's working on any type of guaranteed deal. Yeah, it's, you know, that's their responsibility for the next 2 years plus then. You know, and basically all that says is there's no team that's going to claim him on waiver once he, you know, once he goes through the 10-day designation process. And I doubt they'll get a trade for him because then, you know, you can sign him to the minimum and then the Rangers have to pick up the rest of that. So, you know, that's all that says to me. But, the only thing I actually kind of feel bad, Dan, is they probably knew they were going to make this move a long time ago. You know, they should have released him earlier to give him the opportunity to go out and get another job.
Yeah, or, you know, if you look at it this way, they let him work on his craft so that he's prepared and got to be a part of spring training without having, you know, in case another job wasn't that quick. I don't know. You know, it's obviously two sides of the coin on this one. But it was a six-year, $49.5 million deal, Big Jack. So 12 this year, 12 next year with the signing bonus, you know, divided up, so he'll get the 333 for this year and next year as well. And then, like you said, you know, when Jed Hoyer claims Rougned Odor, he could pay the league minimum, which is, I think, $500,000 a year, somewhere around there, 500, 600,000. I forgot what the league minimum is, but you just pay that, and then the Rangers are stuck with it for the rest of the year. So I don't know how it works over continuous years.
So, yeah, and then in some other news, Dan, I don't know if you caught this one, but Felix Hernandez decided to opt out of his contract with the Baltimore Orioles and become a free agent. You know, he didn't pitch, you know, he signed with the Braves last year and he didn't pitch. He opted out because of COVID. Dan, I got to tell you, man, I hate to say it because, you know, I love the guy. I think his career is done. You know, while he is only, 35, you know, he struggled with Seattle for about 3 years before they decided not to re-sign him. You know, and now not pitching last year didn't help him. I understand with the COVID that he didn't want to get out there, but he didn't really show anything in spring training. You know, he only pitched 5 2/3 innings, and his ERA was almost 8. I guess just kind of what I'm curious about now, Dan, is he a Hall of Famer? You know, I mean, obviously he was one of the best pitchers of his era, but is, you know, he doesn't have gigantic career numbers. So but I know they try to say the standards are different now. He is a Cy Young Award winner. You know, he did win the award once and finished second twice. So you know, I don't know. I think he's kind of borderline, and I was just wondering where you had him.
Do you think the lack of playoff presence plays into that?
You know, I do wonder because, yeah, he never made a postseason appearance in his 15 years in Seattle. You know, they never got there once. You know, but, you know, like I said, he did win his Cy Young. You know, he won a couple ERA titles with, you know, which, you know, everybody gets excited about. So, I don't know. You know, I'm always kind of surprised with the way, you know, they vote for Hall of Fame and stuff. So I guess it's possible. You know, I kind of have a feeling that he'll be one of those guys who's on the ballot for a very long time and then might get in. But,
yeah.
You know, it's not like he's a locked-down first ballot guy. So, yeah, that's I was, you know, and again, like I said, it makes me sad because obviously I rooted for the guy for a long, you know, basically 15 years as a Mariner. So, yeah, and then we had another one of those lovely moves that you and I just love so much, Dan. I guess the Marlins decided they needed to push the arbitration clock back on Sixto Sanchez because he was optioned to AAA today. You know, and that's the only reason he's going to AAA is because they want to push the clock back. It's clear that he was definitely one of their better starting pitchers. And, I mean, you look at his spring numbers, he had a 1.13 ERA over 8 innings. He made, you know, 3 starts. So it was clear. But, you know, Dan, he had 69 days of major league service last year. Or no, excuse me, he had 103. So he needed 69 days to get his, you know, full year in. So basically what's going to happen, Dan, is he's going to stay in the minors for 119 days. And then they'll call him up at arbitration clock one more year. So just another crappy move by what is actually going to be a crappy major league team. You know, I know the Marlins were excited to make those playoffs last year, but you can kiss that goodbye this year because it's not happening, guys. Sorry. You know, and it's kind of like I fully expect the White Sox to do the same thing with Andrew Vaughn when that time comes to make that decision. So, then, you know, I wanted to get your opinion on this one. I don't know if you kind of caught this one, but Anthony Rizzo and his agent have ended extension talks with the wonderful Chicago Cubs. Because he wants to concentrate on the season. Dan, maybe you can explain to me why you have an agent, why contract talks bother you, because that's why you have an agent. But B, and more importantly, is this Rizzo's last year with the Cubs? Do you see it as that happening now that talks are over?
Didn't think that this wouldn't be his last season, regardless of knowing that the talks were over. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if you think about it, yeah, the agent is out negotiating this and that, but he still has to go back to Rizzo and company and say, hey, you know, I know we're 30 games in. What do you think of this deal? Yeah. You know, and it can put a spiky to a guy. I think it might make him a little bit more disgruntled through the season. So I think in that essence, it's a good thing to stop it, but I think the majority of it is Rizzo knows he's not coming back. He's not resigning here. So, you know, maybe he can get his job back in San Diego.
Yeah, well, you know, he's one of those guys, I don't think he'll have a problem, you know, I mean,
no.
Finding work where, you know, wherever, you know, I don't know who's going to be in the market for a first baseman next year, but, you know, I mean, you got to think he's definitely a guy to, you know, he'll be one of the top guys, you know, not only him, but Chris Bryant, you know, depending on what kind of year, you know, they end up having. But, yeah, they'll be, you know, a couple of the top guys on the market when it, you know, when it rolls around to that. So it's, you know, it's going to be a much different, you know, the obviously the Cubs team looks a little different this year. You know, it's going to really look different next year because we already know they're not going to re-sign Chris Bryant. We know that's a given. You know, if they lose Rizzo in free agency, don't forget that there's a possibility that Javi Baez also hits free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine what that team would look like.
Oh, and, I mean, let's be honest, that deal that Rizzo took when he took it probably wasn't the greatest, but he got paid. And just the way the market is, the team has been broken apart. You know, I think it'd be hugely different if the same team that won the World Series was all still here, you know, and you had this group of young guys that all came together, won a World Series. And then this was, you know, we're talking 2 years later and they're all still together. They're all still, you know, competing at the highest level. But, you know, I think the writing's on the wall that they're not going to be at the highest level and, or the most competitive. And I think, you know, Rizzo and Bryant have already seen the writing on the wall, and you know it's time to get out of town before you carry out of town, right?
Yeah, you know, and the tough part, you know, I mean, obviously, your ultimate goal, of course, is to win the World Series, but you know, when you do that, you can't keep that entire team together. You know, you can't bring everybody back. You know, you need to continue to make your changes and, you know, interweave new people onto the roster, be it via free agency or trade or your rookies coming up. And, you know, again, I'll say it again, that's where Theo Epstein really dropped the ball. You know, he was in love with these guys and this team, and he did everything in his power to keep them together as long as he could, and it suffered. And then when the going got tough, Theo got going. So, you know, that's just kind of how it is. And now they're in for multiple losing seasons because this is a bad team, and there's no hope for it next year or probably the year after that.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the point I was getting at. And I guess, you know, like you said, you can't keep the entire team together, all together forever. Money, contracts, the whole nine. But that's the thing. You know, you go back to the World Series Cubs, which, you know, I think you made a joke about it. Is this going to be the next Bears? I think so. Chicago Bears, for anyone, just do your history.
Yeah.
We haven't won a World Super Bowl since 86, but you would think it was last season. Where was I going with that? You know, you look at the 2016 World Series team and the team that's been competing on the field the last 2 years, and it's completely different. You know, it's not the same. I think everything's not the same. You know, they haven't kind of continued on that upward swing. You know, when you go from being ahead of the clock, making the playoffs, and then the very next season winning the World Series, to progressively not even making the playoffs in the subsequent years, it's time for a change. And I think for both Brian and Rizzo, it's going to be time for a change. And I don't know. It's the situation they're in. You know, Theo left. call it what you want, tail between his legs or not, you know, there's not much value the Cubs are going to get back trying to trade these two guys at the same point. So,
yeah, they gave all that away. You know, any mm-hmm. value they had, Chris Bryant, they gave away by holding on to him. You know, like it wouldn't surprise me if Rizzo re-signed and, you know, he came back, you know, because he kind of like that kind of guy. But, you know, there's, you know, once he hits the market, there's going to be a lot of teams who are interested in him.
Yeah, and that's my biggest point. You know, like you said, you don't know who is going to be in the market next year, really, for first base. But I'll tell you what, there's definitely going to be five teams that are going to, regardless of their circumstances, that are going to be looking at him and trying to figure out what
right.
they could do to put him on the team. So, you know, and of course,
well, you know, you got to figure that immediately every American League team is interested because you have the DH spot.
Yeah.
And not that Rizzo has the DH because he's a gold glove defender, but, you know, if your first baseman is a little iffy, you put Rizzo at first and your first baseman becomes your DH.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
you know, there is a chance that the National League does adopt the DH with the new CBA, and I think you and I believe that would is going to happen. So that may even open up more possibility for them. You know, maybe a team like the Dodgers jump in because you can play Anthony Rizzo at first base, and Cody Bellinger's your DH, or vice versa, or you know, Max Muncy's your DH, or the Padres jump in and, you know, Rizzo and Hosmer split time at DH. You know, there would be a lot of room for these bigger money National League teams that may not need a first baseman to jump in because now you have a DH spot. You know, I mean, like, even a team like the New York Mets would look really interesting with Anthony Rizzo at first base and Pete Alonso as their DH.
I don't know. I think the possibilities are, it just makes, I think it would improve the game of all the things that they've talked about doing, speeding up the pace. I don't really think anything that they did really changed much, except knock off 38 seconds for a second, you know, forced walk, intentional walk. But, I just hope they can come to that agreement and get the DH universal next year. It would just make more sense.
Yeah, it's time. You know, I mean, I'm so sick of watching pitchers who used to be able to hit all of a sudden going to the plate and looking like they don't know how to hit anymore. You know, but as you and I know, you know, they don't hit coming through the minors, so it's quite an embarrassment. You know, and the sad part is you look at some of them and it's almost like they forgot how to play at the other parts of the game besides pitch. You know, I mean, some of them look like clowns running the bases, and it's like, really? You forgot how to run the bases? So, you know, the time of the pitcher being an athlete is gone. It's just over. And it's time to move on from this so we don't have to, listen to these idiots in the media anymore be like, oh, well, you know, this shouldn't, you know, shut up, okay? We know. Just shut up. It's old. You know, oh, well, a pitcher shouldn't be hitting. Yeah, we know a pitcher shouldn't be hitting, but that's the rule, and they used to work on it. So, you know. You know, I'd rather see Dan hit. You know, who's winning the NASCAR race, Dan? You still have it on?
A guy I thought about picking, but I bombed when I picked him last was Daniel Suarez. But there's only 11 laps to go in the second stage, so you never know how the third stage is going to go. But Logano's up in second. Hamlin, Truex, Byron, Newman, Elliott, Wallace, Stenhouse Jr., and Jones. So, I mean, I believe I picked in the Fox Super Sports. You know, it'd be amazing if I won some money. I doubt it, though. But I believe I picked Chevy to have the most in one of the categories. So hopefully I can win some of Clint's money.
Yeah, I didn't do that one. I did the FanDuel one. Like I said, luckily I only do a nickel because I've been not only throwing my money away on NASCAR, but I've been throwing it away on my Zach LaVine lineups, which I'm actually not doing today because he's probable, and I don't know if he's going to play, so I'm not going to do a lineup if he's not going to play. So we'll wait and see, but yeah, I just, I kind of ate it when those guys decided to run into each other. So I figure unless the couple guys I have remaining finish first and second, I probably don't have much of a shot. And even then, I probably wouldn't have much of a shot. So we'll see, but, who knows. So now, did you do a FanDuel lineup as well, or did you just try to win Clint's money?
No, I did a FanDuel lineup as well. Man, they're flying on this dirt track. This track has to be fun. I think this is the one race I would not go to. I don't see. I'm up in the green, Big Jack. So as long as this game plays out well, I'll hit that, make 15, 10 cents because I'll win 15. But, the worst one in my lineup right now is Kyle Larson. Did you say he's out?
I don't know if he was out, but he was involved in that wreck, so he may be out.
Is he number five? It looks like there's only 20 cars left. So he's out. But at least he ended with 15 points. But I picked number one, Bush. I forget which brother is which. Oh, Kurt Busch. Chase Elliott, Ryan Newman, and Joey Logano. So, I tried to do, like you said, look for guys that are going to do a lot of passing. And then, I wasn't paying attention, so I don't know where their pits are at right now. But Logano's up in first. So, and he's got almost a minute on Suarez. That changed quickly. If Logano can take this race, I think I can actually win maybe 25 cents.
Hey, there you go.
If only I didn't go with Larson in this one.
So, yeah, that's, that would have worked out for you better. So, you'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, but, one of the things I did this week, Big Jack, was I looked at guys that I know normally finish in the top that were at the bottom. So I don't know if that strategy was a good one. But, Kurt Busch started off in 28th, and he's sitting in 15th. Still have a whole other stage to go. So, if he can get in the top 10, I think that would help him get a bunch of points. Chase Elliott was starting 26th, and he got all of it.
Thank you.